This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back, guys. I'm Kimberly Hand. I'm solo on the mic today, and I'm talking about one of my favorite topics. And this topic is alcohol.
Hey there, and welcome to the Cinnamon Effect podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Hand, and I'm thrilled to have you with me on this vibrant journey of discovery and growth. This podcast is your go-to space for embracing intention, where you'll find clarity on your unique path, deepen those meaningful connections, and unleash your creativity like never before. We'll explore how to build unshakable confidence and celebrate the beauty of gratitude, all while savoring the calm that consistency brings to our lives. Thank you for being with me. Let's sprinkle a little cinnamon into your day and make life sweeter, healthier, and more fulfilling.
Today, I'm going to go down 16 reasons why my life is better without alcohol. It's funny. I was going to do 10. I was going to do 15. I was going to do 20. I settled on 16. Okay. But I am coming up on 4 years of being alcohol free. So I reevaluated my relationship with alcohol on December 26, 2021, the day after Christmas. I had had a couple of glasses of wine on Christmas Day, and I woke up on the 26th feeling like shit. And I had a five-year-old, and you know, life goes on. He's excited. He's got his new toys, and there's no time to be hungover, right? So I had just gone to see functional medicine practitioner. I was starting to address some of these health issues that I was having. And what I realize now is that I was literally throwing gasoline on a fire by drinking alcohol. And because I had these underlying things going on. So my body started to scream at me. I think it was whispering for a long time. It started to scream at me. And so I said, enough is enough. And I thought I was going to do it for 90 days and go back to drinking. And we are now almost 4 years later, and here I am. And I actually don't even resonate with the person I was when I was drinking alcohol. So I want to talk about so many of the benefits that I have experienced in my life since not drinking alcohol. And you know why this came up for me? Of course, it's like an anniversary date, right? That I started to think about as time is getting closer to Christmas. But I ran into a friend the other day, and it was funny. I ran into her in the Bahamas, actually, a couple of years ago. Probably 2 years ago, I ran into her in the Bahamas, and I wasn't drinking, and I've known her a long time, and I wasn't drinking, and I did kind of tell her that I wasn't drinking. And I just saw her the other day, and she said, Kimberly, she goes, you know, I remember when I saw you in the Bahamas, I took note of you not drinking alcohol. You said you weren't drinking alcohol anymore. And it really impacted me and inspired me. And I have not drank in 18 months. She just told me this. And I was like, oh my God, like, I feel like this is one of the things I am the most proud of when it comes to my podcast, is that I've talked about giving up alcohol and that so many of you have listened and it's actually impacted your life. Like, down to my electrician who came to my house and said, Kimberly, I listened to your podcast and I wanted to tell you that I stopped drinking. And that is like, I just can't even put into words how grateful I am that I've had that kind of impact on people. And even if it's just one, but I know it's so many more of you that have taken that step. I feel so grateful for that. And I think it's one of the best things that I have done by having this podcast and talking about this subject. So thank you to you all for listening. And thank you to the ones that are brave enough to tell me that I had an impact, because that's very, very special. And I don't take that lightly. So I'm going to run down my top reasons why my life is so much better without alcohol. And number one is one that I think you experience early. You experience it early on when you stop drinking, is your sleep. Oh my God, your sleep becomes next level. If you have been drinking and dealing with that interrupted sleep, we all know what it is. It's just like a restless sleep. You're not getting the deep REM sleep that you should be because the alcohol and the sugar and all of that is working against you during the night. You will love this positive benefit. The sleep is next level. And I would say even if you quit drinking for 30 days, you will notice it. Obviously, the positive benefits just exponentially get better over time. But that is one of the first things. Even I think after like a week or 2 weeks of not drinking, I noticed it. And I was like, oh my God, this is like amazing. So, and I hear that. I hear that from you all who have taken that step. Even if you've just done dry January, I think you have noticed that your sleep has gotten better. Physical appearance. Okay. So many things have changed for me since I stopped drinking. And I am a 45-year-old woman, and I am a little vain when it comes to this, because I don't do Botox and I don't do fillers and I don't do lasers and I don't do all this stuff to my face. Maybe I will eventually. I'm not currently doing it now. So if I can impact my physical appearance through not drinking alcohol, hey, I'm going to do it, because that seems like a no-brainer for me. And I will say my skin clarity has gotten better. I have less redness in my skin, and I have like a lot of red undertones as it is in my skin, but I noticed that, like, it's less red, it's less inflamed. The whites of my eyes have gotten brighter. My teeth stay whiter because I don't have any red wine stains on them. I would say towards the end of my drinking journey, I was not drinking as much red wine because I did notice that it really affected me. I was drinking more like a high-end tequila or something like that. Not to say that's any better, but that was just my journey. But no stains on the teeth, less fine lines on your skin. Your skin is more hydrated. I'm less bloated. I had a trainer tell me one time that, and I don't know scientifically if this has been backed up, but that you don't build muscle as well when you are drinking alcohol. It makes total sense because you're ingesting a toxin and how that affects your body overall. But I've always thought about that. And I actually think that I am building more muscle. And so does that have a direct correlation to not drinking alcohol? I'm not sure, but it is one of the physical things that I'm noticing now. And just wanted to bring that awareness to it because, again, there's just so many positive benefits. And it's one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life is to not drink. And so I like want to shout that from the rooftops, basically. My number three reason why life is better without alcohol is that my healing journey began when I stopped drinking. And it was like everything became, you're not numbing yourself. Everything became very clear. There was a lot of clarity that happened right off the bat of like, oh my gosh, maybe I was dealing with this and I was dealing with it through drinking and I'm not doing that anymore. So the healing journey sped up at that point. I went through EMDR therapy to address PTSD that I had that I was kind of masking away. And I think part of that masking and numbing was through alcohol. And so it was like just all of these things came to the surface. And I hear that from people as well that have stopped drinking. It's like you are feeling all the feelings. You are not hiding from them. You are not masking them with alcohol. You are feeling everything so intensely in the beginning. That's very hard. But I feel so grateful for that experience of just saying, you know what? I see where I need to go now. I see what this future looks like for me, and I need to address some things that have happened in the past to propel myself forward in the future. So the healing journey really ticked up at that time, and I was seeing the functional medicine doctor. I did the EMDR. I had experienced a miscarriage, and I had held on to all this weight. It was about 30 pounds. And I swear I stopped drinking. I did all this. I did the therapy and the weight. I didn't change, besides the alcohol, I didn't really change a whole lot about what I was doing. And the weight just started to fall off my body. And that's where the quote by Dr. Will Cole, "You can't heal a body you hate," that resurfaces there too. So the healing journey began. I dissolved so many layers of myself, and I got in tune with my authentic self, and that was the greatest gift. And from there, so many incredible things happened from there. And I do believe a lot of it is directly related to not drinking. I stopped going out and spending my precious energy doing things that no longer aligned with me. And, you know, I think that I started to, I mean, I was hanging out with people that I didn't even really like sometimes. And I hate to say that, but you're bonding over alcohol, you know, so just all of that completely changed for me. I became more in touch with myself. Like I said, instead of going to brunch and drinking mimosas all day, I would go on a walk or walk on the beach or go get a massage or do things that were self-care and, you know, connect with a friend, but go on a walk with them or spend more time in nature. Like, there was just certain things that I started to do more instead of when you're not drinking and you're not going out and you're not, all your activities aren't revolving around that. Even my husband and I, our date nights changed because we would go out to dinner and split a bottle of wine, right? And we don't do that anymore. Now we like walk to dinner. We like take a walk to dinner. We have a great dinner with mocktails, you know, and then walk home. It's like, I don't know. It's just like a different, you have to look at things differently. And I definitely reevaluated what I thought, you know, I reevaluated what I was filling my time with and what I wanted to do going forward, which was take better care of myself. So I became unapologetically myself. And what I mean by that is that there's no part of me that feels like I need to act a certain way to fit in or to be loved or to have friends, there's no part of me that feels that way anymore. And I think some of that was tied to drinking. I felt that I needed to drink to fit in. I felt like everyone else was drinking at the time and I needed to do that. I'm seeing that shift though. The number six thing. Actually, I think I've gotten out of order here, but I'm gonna just roll with it. I connected with other people who weren't drinking. So you find your people. Again, you find the people that they've ordered a mocktail at the party and you're like, oh, okay. And then you start talking about it and like, what's the motivation there? And actually, one of the first things the first experiences I had was at a restaurant, and I was at a birthday dinner with a bunch of women. And there was a woman sitting next to me who I did not know. And I kind of quietly said to the waiter, I'll have a Pellegrino with lime. And she was like, oh, because everyone else was drinking. And she was like, oh, like she picked up on that. And we talked the night away. And actually, she was supporting her husband in not drinking. And so she decided she wasn't going to drink either. And so you know, you connect with these people. I think you connect with people when you are drinking, you connect with the drinkers. And when you're not drinking, you're like, oh, I see you over there. Like, I'm picking up what you're putting down. So I definitely connected with other people who weren't drinking. This is a big one, and I can't even explain like the direct result of this, but since I have stopped drinking alcohol, my confidence has grown. I feel more confident. I started giving zero fucks, excuse my language, but I started owning my decisions. I started putting myself out there more. I started talking about not drinking. I've talked about it a lot. I've talked about it on this podcast a lot. And my confidence, I guess my confidence around being a non-drinker now has grown. I feel more comfortable in speaking with people about it. So but I think my confidence has just grown in other ways. I think being in tune with myself, being my authentic self, that has made my confidence grow too. So very important. I saved money, you guys. Like if you stop drinking and you stop going out and buying alcohol at restaurants and bars, you will save money. I promise you. You will save money because you don't have to Uber home. You will save money because you are not drinking and buying a $20 cocktail. You will save so much money, okay? I also find that I buy people gifts and I don't buy them like alcohol-related gifts anymore. I tend to get other things. And I will say, when I stopped drinking, I replaced, maybe I didn't save so much money in the beginning because I did replace that reward, that connection of like rewarding myself instead of rewarding myself with a cocktail, I would like reward myself by buying something online. And I know that was not good. And I definitely see that, but I'm just being honest about my journey with it is that when I stopped drinking, I did replace part of that activity with shopping. But overall, I don't do that as much anymore, but it was this reward conditioning that I was used to. So I was rewarding myself with being able to check out for a little, having a little buzz, drinking a pretty drink in a pretty glass. And I don't do that anymore. So the saving of the money though, I think my husband will tell you too, like not buying the fancy bottles of wine or champagne or, you know, you save a lot of money. So that's a hidden benefit there. This one is kind of funny because it seems very simple and maybe something you wouldn't think about, but I can drive anywhere at any time of the day. So I can go run out to the store at 11 p.m. at night if I need to. And it's weird, but it's like freedom to me. I feel like, I don't know. There's just like a freedom with that. Like I don't have to rely on anybody and I can pop in or pop out at any point. I can drive someone else home. I can, you know, I just have that freedom where I can go anywhere at any time. I can leave at any time. I'm not waiting for my drunk friend to, you know, I mean, it's just like so many benefits where I can drive anywhere at any time of the day. I became very aware of some of my toxic patterns that manifested in the form of abusing alcohol. So, you know, when you talk about self-work and self-improvement, I really, so much of maybe some of these patterns that I had created in my own life were tied to drinking alcohol. I drank when I felt shy. I drank when I was trying to make friends. And I noticed that I did this when I moved to Park City, Utah, and I lived there. And I was drinking more because I was trying to figure out what my friend circle was. And, you know, you bond in that way and you feel less shy and you feel like you can talk to people and get to know them better and bond with them. And so that came to the surface for me. I almost took on this like party girl persona that I you know, I've always been a dancer. I would drink, I would dance, I would have fun, I would do something a little crazy. And I kind of loved that. I liked the attention that I got from that. And that's like, you know, it's just so funny because I just don't feel like I have to do that. And maybe that was a form of performing because I've always been a performer. And so the alcohol just made it easier to perform for people. And so all of these patterns, you know, I think just became very, very clear of that alcohol was like a conductor for me. It was a way to get me to feel these things or get me to feel more accepted. And so what happens when you strip all that away, right? And I drank. I think part of the reason why I drank is that I saw a lot of people around me drinking always when I was growing up. And that kind of behavior was modeled around me. And I didn't question it. I didn't question the behavior. And I drank when I needed to feel relief, or I drank when I needed to, you know, not feel shy. And or even if I was feeling sad, I wanted to drink, which now I realize that just compounded everything. It didn't make anything better. But that's a very important benefit of not drinking, is that I became hyper aware of these toxic patterns that I had in my life that were really just fueled by drinking alcohol. So this is an interesting one because I think my husband would agree. We don't fight. We do not fight now that I'm not drinking. And my husband, I'm not going to say he's a non-drinker. He drinks very little, comparatively speaking, is maybe what we used to. But we, you know, the night would start out playful, but then Kimberly would get feisty about something, which is not unexpected. I would get a little feisty, then you'd get mad, then it would turn back and forth. So like one simple little comment that you started out making would be very triggering for either me or him. And it got really feisty really quickly. And I remember thinking that I am just going to take myself out of this equation. I'm going to take my feisty nature when I'm drinking. I'm just going to take it out of the equation. It's not serving any of us. And I can say we've had disagreements, but we do not fight like we did when we had drinks in us. And that's just, that is like a solid truth of what's happened in our relationship. And we're able to talk things out better and more respectfully. I just think alcohol adds so much. And I think you're probably nodding your head if you've ever had a drunken fight with your boyfriend or husband or wife or whoever. You know. And I know that it was a two-way street, of course, but I know that I had a big part in that. And I didn't want to do that anymore. I really didn't. So I see that positive impact of not drinking, and the disagreements and the bickering and all of that has basically disappeared. So I feel very proud of that. Oh, this one, I think modeling good behavior, and I guess we can say what is good, right? And I could be messing up in a lot of other areas of life, but I do think that modeling behavior of a person that does not drink alcohol is very important to me to show my son. And I am breaking a cycle generationally. In my family, I'm breaking a cycle and I am modeling a different type of behavior for him. And that is, it's just so powerful for me. And so I think about that a lot. And we already openly talk about alcohol. He's asked me about it. He's asked me if I drink. I said, you know, I used to. He seems shocked when I tell him that because he just has never really that he can remember seeing me in that light. So I do take a big responsibility for showing him just a different way of life, and that you don't have to drink. And I think it's around everywhere. And there's no shame for people that do drink. I have no judgment. I just know for myself, I wanted to model that behavior for him. And I feel like I am, since I quit drinking, I am more present. I'm a more present mother with him. There's just so many benefits to not. And so I think you have to evaluate, how is alcohol, your consumption of alcohol, affecting your family members? How is it affecting your kids? You know, do you know? Have you ever thought about it in that way? So we all can just do what we can do. We can make those decisions. We can be the role model that we want to be. We can show them that there's another way. You have to be the first line of defense in that, and you have to make that decision for yourself. So that is one that is very close to my heart, and I always think about him. And I think about him a lot with other decisions, but I do think that's one of the best things I've done for him as well. I have released a lot of shame. I've released a lot of shame when it comes to drinking and how I acted when I drank. The truth is, and maybe I've never really said this when I've talked about it, but I was ashamed of my behavior when I drank alcohol. I didn't like what I would say. I have blacked out. I have forgotten parts of a night. I have thrown up from drinking. I have ruined clothing. I have broken sunglasses. I have fallen. I've been embarrassed. There are so many parts of drinking that I have experienced that made me feel very shameful. And so I just have released so much of this. And now I think about it, and I think back to those experiences, and I feel like I just have grace for that woman that was going through that. And I'm grateful for her because it brought me to this point, but I have just this gratitude. You know, I would take a photo like on a night where I had been drinking, and then I would look at that photo for days and think like, oh my God, that looks drunk, or I don't know, just, you know, there was so much like shame that was built up around drinking for me. And, you know, I've said previously on this podcast that I didn't feel like I had a problem with alcohol. And maybe that was a lie, because the further I have gotten into this journey, I realized that yes, when all of that was happening, that was a problem. That was definitely a problem. I trauma bonded with people over alcohol. I hung out with people I didn't like just to feel safe in a group, and a group of people that were drinking and all doing the same thing. So there was a lot of issues and a lot of problems with that. And I realized that the day after, the week after, even the month after, sometimes I was feeling this shame surrounding alcohol. And so I have released myself from that. And I just now choose to look at that woman that did those things and just have grace and respect and reverence for where she came from and what she was going through, right? So whew, that even feels like a weight lifted off just talking about it here. I don't know. It's just like releasing that shame. And if you feel that shame, maybe it's time to address your relationship with alcohol. I started dreaming again. What an amazing part of eliminating alcohol. Now, yes, I started dreaming again because I was getting better sleep. That's one part of it. But I actually started dreaming again of like what my life could be like and what the future could hold for me. So dreaming in that way, where I started setting goals and trying to figure out what I wanted to do and what did I want to be into my 40s? Because December 26, 2021, I was 41 years old. So I had just tiptoed into the decade of my 40s, and I wanted to fill the decade with hope and inspiration and big dreams and goals. And I knew that I couldn't do it if I was still so consumed with drinking. And I was still so consumed with the shame I felt around making those decisions. And not to mention, I've been into health and wellness my entire life. And I would justify drinking alcohol because I thought, you know what? I'm drinking far less than what all my people around me are drinking. I thought it was okay. I thought it was okay for me because I wasn't doing it to the extent of maybe other people that I saw, right? So I would justify it away. But if I was so focused on health and wellness, then how could I be consuming this toxin into my body if I was still, if I considered myself health-focused? So I had to make that line in the sand for myself. And I think some people can do it in moderation, and they can figure out a way how it works in their life. But I'm kind of like all or nothing when it comes to that. And I was like, nope. If I'm going to be health focused, if I'm going to really be on this healing journey, I've got to eliminate that. So that was part of this dreaming process for me. And out of this dream grew this podcast. And I really believe that I would not have started it if I was still drinking alcohol. I think I wouldn't have had the time, the bandwidth, the clarity. There would be so many things that I wouldn't have the space for in my life if I was still drinking. So that was a life-changing decision that I made that has been so beneficial and amazing to me. And I'm so grateful for that. I am more productive. Oh my gosh, I'm so much more productive now that I don't drink. I wake up earlier. If you could count the amount of sunrises I've seen in the last 4 years comparative to the amount of sunrises I had witnessed in maybe the prior 20 years, it's like I wake up earlier. I'm not hungover. What a blessing. I've slept well. I just think, oh my gosh. And if you're in perimenopause or menopause, let's just talk about that, because your sleep is such a priority that if you are hijacking your sleep with alcohol, you really need to reconsider that. Because we're already having trouble sleeping in perimenopause. And if you are drinking, you're adding a little fuel to that fire. So I think because I'm not drinking, I wake up earlier. I I'm way more productive in that way. So that's a blessing to me. The last one is that I'm less anxious. I always thought maybe I'm an anxious person, you know? And I think that just having alcohol in general, the next day I would wake up and I would start to spiral a little bit and I would feel very anxious. First of all, you're adding weight to your morning routine because you're not really popping up out of bed because you've drank too much the night before, that type of thing. And I just think I thought that alcohol was dimming the anxiousness. You would drink, you'd have a drink and then you'd feel more relaxed and all. And it really is not. You can look at the research. It is not making you less anxious. It is only making you more anxious. So it's fueling that anxious behavior. So being less anxious, what a gift. What a gift. I don't feel that way. I mean, yes, do I get nervous or worried about things? I do. Of course I do. But it's just not to the level it was when I was drinking. So that's been a huge, huge bonus to this whole scenario. And I just want to end by saying that quitting alcohol is not easy. And if you are in an active addiction scenario and it feels like something that you do not have a handle on, that you need to seek help, therapy, maybe it's an AA type program, you need to seek something additional. This podcast, I am trying to highlight the positive benefits that it's had on my life. I am not a medical practitioner. I'm not trying to give health advice. I am just telling you what I've experienced in my life. And I am here as a support, as a friend. If you are on this journey of quitting alcohol and you're curious about it or you want to talk about it, I feel like I have made myself a person that is talking about it openly. And so if you are someone that wants to talk about it with me, I would love to have that conversation with you because it is one of the best decisions I've made in my life. So I wish you guys, you'll probably be hearing this at the beginning of 2026 in dry January if you are going to try it out for 30 days, see how you feel, but you can always push it for longer. You can always go more. I thought I was going to go 90 days and look at me, I'm 4 years down the road. So I'm sending you motivation. I'm sending you love. I'm sending you gratitude. And I hope that you guys have a beautiful start to 2026. And that if you are thinking about quitting alcohol, just know you have a cheerleader in me and I am rooting for you. I am rooting for you. So thank you guys so much for listening and I will see you next time.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Cinnamon Effect. If you enjoyed our time together, don't forget to hit that follow button on your podcast app and sprinkle a little love by leaving us a 5-star rating and a quick review. Your support means the world to me. For even more goodness, check out the show notes where you'll find links to some of my favorite products. And don't forget to visit thecinnamoneffect.com to connect with me directly or to grab your TCE Gratitude Journal, your next step towards a more grateful life. I can't wait to spice things up with you again next time. Stay vibrant, stay inspired, and remember to add a little cinnamon to your life every day.